God, our Father in heaven, we are so thankful, Lord, for who thou art, a loving God who cares so much for his own creation, Lord, that thou hast done all things for us. And so we would respond, Lord, with that love in return to thee for thy great love that thou dost have for us. And Lord, we just pray that we would express our love for thee by obedience to thy word and holding thy word most precious in our lives. And so we just pray now for thy faithfulness this afternoon, Lord, that as we would consider this thy word, that thou wouldst bless it to our minds and to our souls, Lord, that we might live for thee and lift up thy name and glorify thee. For we ask these things in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. For this afternoon's reading, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs 21. Because they refuse to do judgment. The way of a man is forward and strange, but as for the pure, his work is right. It is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. The soul of the wicked desireth evil. His neighbor findeth no favor in his eyes. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. And when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. The righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked, but God overthroweth the wicked for their wickedness. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. A gift in secret pacifieth anger, and a reward in the bosom, strong wrath. It is joy to the just to do judgment, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man, and he that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. The wicked shall be a ransom for the righteous, and the transgressor for the upright. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. There is treasure to be desired, and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor. A wise man scaleth the city of the mighty, and casteth down the strength of the confidence thereof. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Proud and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath. The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. He coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not. The sacrifice of the wicked is abomination, how much more when he bringeth it with a wicked mind. A false witness shall perish, but the man that heareth speaketh constantly. A wicked man hardeneth his face, but as for the upright, he directeth his way. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. May God bless the reading of his word and let
us before thee to magnify
this afternoon that one of the verses would have spoken to you, because we will not be meditating on every verse in this chapter, but I'd like to take a theme out of this chapter and out of the book of Proverbs in general, and as we go through this scripture, I believe that theme would come out. The Lord Jesus Christ said that he that sent him is with him. The Father hath not left him alone, for Jesus always did those things that please him. And as Christians, we ought to be no different as followers of Christ, that our desire is that the Father would be with us, and for him to be with us, that we would do always those things that please him. There are those organizations and even mission, personal mission statements that have mission statements, and for a believer, really the greatest mission statement that we could have for ourselves is that we would always do those things that would please the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ has done that. He knew that God was with him. He knew that his Father had sent him and was with him, and he, in the verse before that, speaks of how he would speak what God would have him to speak. And so he knew that God was with him, and he knew that God was with him because he did always those things which please the Father. And so likewise for us, that we would always do those things that would please the Father. To do that, it takes intentionality in our lives, and it also takes a measure of temperance in our lives as well. And temperance, by definition, would be to have a habitual self-control or self-discipline in our lives, that we would allow that fruit of the Spirit of temperance to show forth and make itself manifest, that we exercise self-control, that we exercise ourselves, that we want to do the will of the Father, that in everything that we do, in everything that we say, in all our aspirations, that we want to do the will of the Father. And so we yield ourselves to him, and he gives us grace. The Bible says that, well, the Apostle Paul in his letter to 1 Corinthians says, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. This is a manifestation of temperance. And that's not a verbiage that we would use today. I keep under my body. Perhaps it would be better translated, I keep my body under. I keep my body suppressed and bring it into subjection. It takes intentionality. That takes self-control. This is given to us by the Holy Spirit. God has grace to give unto us his Holy Spirit that he would exercise in us, that we would subdue our body, that we would bring it into subjection. Again, that takes intentionality on our part, that we desire that we're going to bring our body into subjection. The Apostle Paul also wrote to the Corinthians saying, bringing into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. Every thought that we would have, it has to be filtered through the obedience unto Christ. Is this what Christ would say? Is this what Christ would do? And so that every thought that we would have, it would be tempered, that we are bringing it into the obedience of Christ in all things. Many times this year already, the reference to 2 Peter chapter 1, how it speaks about the building blocks of a believer's life, where it starts with faith, and you add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. Temperance is there listed in that building block of our spiritual life. And to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. These things ought to be alive in us. And it takes tremendous effort for us to yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit, to bring our body into subjection, to bring our thoughts unto the captivity of Christ and to the obedience of Christ, and exercising and allowing the fruit of the Spirit of temperance to make itself known in our lives. Our thoughts are where much of our being originates. So everything we say begins with a thought. Everything we do begins with a thought. And so the Bible is teaching us what to place our thoughts on, that we would think upon those things which are true and honest and just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtuous, and praiseworthy. These things ought to be what we would be meditating upon. And as we're thinking upon these things, then that fruit of the Spirit of temperance makes itself manifest in our lives. I believe for each and every one of us, we have potential to grow in this area. We have a potential to allow that fruit of the Spirit to make itself manifest more and more. And so we read a chapter such as this, Proverbs chapter 21, and we're not going to go through every verse. There are a few verses that we'll read through here and consider what that teaching is. And so the first verse says, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. And with all the political turmoil in the last few years, we've been speaking to each other a lot of that and having that confidence that ultimately all things are in God's hand. And he can take the president or the prime minister or whoever he might be and turn him however God will. And we can have confidence in that, knowing that God is ultimately in control. And he can turn hearts as he will. This past week, I've been reading, I read the book of the seventh chapter of Daniel. And it speaks there about how there would be different kingdoms that would rise. First would be one as a lion, then as a bear, then as a leopard, and then a diverse being, one that had 10 horns. And those 10 horns would be 10 kings. And 3 of the kings would get deposed, and another king would rise in its place, and he would be very strong, and he would think to change laws and think to change times, and it says that he would wear out the saints. So in such a time as that, we need to remember that God is ultimately in control, and he changes the king's heart as he will. As he will. And so as we would consider a time like that where there is great oppression and there is a king that is looking to wear out the saints, we need to exercise temperance in our lives. That we need to be careful on how we are thinking about the events of those times and what we are saying about those events and what we are doing in those events, exercising that fruit of the Spirit of temperance. And so we are to be thinking about these things, that in the small things of life, as something perhaps would agitate us, we need to exercise self-control. Not allow that to turn us into anger or into rage. For if in these small things that as they happen to us in our lives, and it would do that, and we don't exercise self-control or self-discipline, then what would happen when we have a king who wants to change laws and change times and to wear out the saints? Ours is to be walking in the word of the Lord and following in his precepts in all aspects and all phases of life, whether it be peacetime, wartime, or whatever it may be. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. We all have a lens on life. We all have a perspective of life that we've developed because of the circumstances and the experiences in life that we have had. And sometimes we value our perspectives perhaps a little higher than we ought to. And so that's the Bible here is saying here and in many other places throughout Proverbs and throughout the Bible that it's very often that every way of a man is right in his own eyes. This is what's right. I've had these experiences in life, and so I know, and this is what's right. That's what the way of a man. In the previous verse, or in previous chapter, there's a verse here that says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. Most men will proclaim how great they are, how much knowledge they have, or how right they are. That is natural. But we are to exercise self-restraint and know that we are here to do what would please the Father, just as Christ did. Christ didn't come here to bring his own message. Christ came here to bring the Father's message. And in doing so, he said, I do always those things that please him. And so that ought to be our mission statement as well, that we are always to do those things that please the Father. And not place so much value on those things which we would think would be right in our own eyes or proclaim our own goodness. This book of Proverbs also says in Proverbs 14:14, an easy verse to remember, that it says, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, but a good man shall be satisfied from himself. A backslider in heart, he's taking on his own ways, his own perspective, his own sense of goodness or what is right. That's what a backslider will be filled with, his own lens, his own perspective. But it says, but a good man is satisfied from himself. It's not about him. It's about the Lord. It's about doing those things that please the Lord. It's about doing what we heard this morning in loving and in blessing and in doing good and in praying for those that would persecute us and despitefully use us. This is what the Lord is looking for from us, and to exercise self-restraint and self-control in that way. Verse number 4 here says, "A high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin." Again, the fruit of temperance needs to be in our lives that we would not have a high look or a proud heart. That's not from the Lord. That's not doing those things what would please the Father. How is having a proud look or a proud heart doing those things that please the Father? It doesn't. They're separate from each other. They're very different from each other. And so we ought to exercise self-control, self-discipline in having a focus on ourselves. Verse number 8 says, "The way of a man is forward and strange, but as for the pure, his work is right." The way of a man, the way that an individual would be, it's forward and it's strange. A forward person, and this book of Proverbs speaks much about a forward man, which means simply that one who is contrary, always in opposition, being a difficult person to live with or to be with. That's what a forward person is, and that's the way of a man. But it says, "But as for the pure, his work is right." Jesus Christ there in the Sermon on the Mount said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And so we are to be pure in his ways and doing always those things that please the Father. The ninth verse and the 19th verse speak about living with one who is contentious. "It is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman." And here the Bible is speaking of a woman, but the truth is that nobody wants to dwell with somebody who is contentious, that whether that be a man or a child in the house or whatever it might be, that it's more favorable to dwell in unfavorable circumstances, such as in the wilderness or in a corner of the housetop, than with a contentious person in a more favorable setting. We are not to strive. The Bible teaches us that the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all men. We are servants of the Lord, and we are doing always those things that please him. We are not to be contentious. We are not to be striving. We are not to be argumentative type people. But we are to be ones who would encourage and build up and edify one another in the ways of the Lord and pleasing him in all things. There's a proverb here that says, "But whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he shall cry himself, but shall not be heard." If we don't have a heart of pity and a heart that's merciful, that mercy will not be given unto us either. Again, going back to the Beatitudes, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." And speaking of contention, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." It takes temperance in our lives. It takes a self-control being exercised by the Holy Spirit working in us, him giving us grace, and he will give us that grace and even in abundant measure to yield ourselves to him. "He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man, and he that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich." If we are pleasure seekers, if we are always seeking for those things that would give fulfillment and an excitement and a joy to this flesh, we will not be rich in the Lord. And here it even speaks of being a poor man financially, because we will have spent all our resources on those things that would bring pleasure and wine and oil and all these things. It will bring us to a state of poverty. Skipping down to verse number 20, it also speaks of that as well. "There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise." There is treasure in the dwelling of the wise, because they have self-restraint, because there is a self-control, because there is a self-discipline, and there is the ability to say no to pleasures and to say no to this and that when the Bible says, I gotta have that. When the world says, I have to have that. I have to have it. I need that. And they get and they expend more and more. But there is treasure in the dwelling of the wise, but the foolish man spendeth it all up. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor. Again, here's what we should be thinking about. Here's what our life should be, one of righteousness and mercy. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. We should be following after righteousness and mercy, and all things that are good will follow us. They will be a part of our lives. When we follow after righteousness and mercy, doing those things that please the Lord, we will have life, we will have righteousness, and we will have honor. God gives us these things, and it's a reflection of his goodness that he gives us these things as we yield ourselves to him and exercise ourselves in the fruit of the spirit of temperance. Then it speaks here of speaking. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. That truly takes self-control and self-discipline. That we would watch what we would say, that we would keep our mouth, and when we do, we keep ourselves from a lot of trouble. Think of the times when we were just about to say something and we knew it wasn't going to be good, and we didn't say it, and then we reflect on that later on and think, well, I'm certainly glad I didn't say that. It saved me from a lot of trouble. And so that's why this proverb here says, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. So the Bible here refers to James chapter 1. And we're familiar with these verses here. And again, it's an exercise in self-restraint. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. You know, the Pharisees had a great system of religion, but what came out of their mouth was a reflection of what was in their heart, and it was not good. And so their religion was vain. It is important that we bridle our tongues. And in that same chapter of James chapter 1, it also says, let every man be swift to hear, be quick to hear, and then slow to speak and slow to wrath. That is the lifestyle that we should have, one that would be quick to hear and then very slow, cautious to speak, and then be fully persuaded in our hearts and in our minds that what I'm about to say is from the Lord. And it glorifies the Lord, it edifies the believer, and it draws those who know not the Lord to the Lord because of what I'm about to say. Later on in this chapter of 21 Proverbs, it also says here that the man that heareth speaketh constantly. It's a mode of communication. If you're hearing constantly, if you're hearing, that's a message. That's you're speaking constantly, that you have the ability to process and take in and be concerned of others, and then not necessarily have to add anything that would be spoken, but that we would simply hear, and that speaks much of itself as well. I do always those things that please him. The words of Jesus Christ. Likewise for us, I do always those things that please the Father. and it takes intentionality, and it takes an exercise of the fruit of the Spirit of temperance. Proverbs 25:28 says, He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. That's dysfunctional. A city, in those times, it was almost always that they would have a wall around the city for defense purposes. And if there's no wall around the city, the city is dysfunctional. It says a city that is broken down. A city, that means that they have no running water. They have no wells. They have no means of getting rid of trash and other things. No system of government in this city. It's the same as one who would not be able to rule his own spirit. It's non-effective, and it doesn't please the Lord. When we think of a mighty man, we think of one who has a lot of clout, and he can get a lot of things done because he's a mighty man. But the Bible says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. Someone who has a lot of clout and able to do a lot of things, the person that is slow to anger is better than that mighty person. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that can take a city. These mighty generals and these people who have risen in power and influence, those that can rule their own spirit are greater than they. And so it's important that we exercise temperance in our lives, self-control, continuously, in all circumstances. We will be tested. We will be tested as to how do we respond. And we need to exercise that temperance at that point. How are we going to respond? Something's being said that's agitating. How are we going to respond? Are we going to exercise self-control? Or are we going to let the carnal nature to make itself manifest? We have to recognize that we don't always exercise self-control in our lives as we should. That we have to acknowledge that. And so when we acknowledge that, we need to think, well, what went wrong, and how can I do what the Lord would have me to do when this circumstance would come again? And so the thought always needs to be that we're striving and we want to do always those things that would please the Father, and that we would bring our bodies into subjection, and that we would bring every thought unto the obedience of Christ. That we would reflect the Word of God in our lives at all times, and that we would walk in His ways. So may the Lord bless these few words upon our hearts. Amen.